Now, in a moment or two, we're going to have our Bible reading. But there's going to be a picture coming up, hopefully, and I want someone to tell me who that is. Who can tell me who that is? Okay, so now there's some of the older people know straight away. I don't know if anyone who's at primary school knows who that might be, or maybe even met him. No, Andre Johan went straight up. Yes, Cedric Robinson, and he's the Queen's Guide over the sands of Morecambe Bay, or the Sandman, as he's affectionately known. He's the man that you need if you want to get safely across Morecambe Bay. Has anyone done the Cross Bay Walk, by the way? Hands up. Oh, loads of people. Fantastic. Well, you know what I'm talking about then, don't you? So the next picture will be familiar for you. If we could have that up, please, Jan. So there it is, the Cross Bay Walk. There they are, following the leader, they're following Cedric. He's the man to follow. If you want to get across Morecambe Bay safely, and he's led thousands and thousands of people safely across the bay. And he's been honoured because of that. He is the Queen's Guide. He's an MBE, a member of the British Empire. But he's also been, recently, he was especially honoured by his local pub by having a beer named after him. I think there's a picture that shows that. So I think that was in the Westmorland Gazette. There he is. He looks really, really pleased about that, doesn't he? What an honour. A great honour. There's the little sign. It says Cedric's. A beer named after you. Absolutely fantastic. Well, getting across Morecambe Bay, that's one thing. Getting through life and through death and the judgment to come is another thing altogether. And Cedric Robinson can't help us with that. Who can guide us through life? Who can lead us safely through death? Who can bring us safely through the judgment that we must all face? Well, there's only one person who can do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Bible reading encourages us to follow him. So if you could turn in John chapter 1 to the last paragraph of that chapter. So we've got right to the end of John chapter 1 in our summer time together, our all-age services. And we're going to read from verse 43 to the end. Let's hear God's word. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Okay, well, last time, if you were here last week, we saw Andrew and Peter become disciples of Jesus. That means that they follow Jesus and they learn from him. Now it's the next day. It's the next day, and Jesus finds a guy from the same town as Andy and Pete. Andy and Pete, they're from Bethsaida, and this guy, Philip or Phil, he's from the same town. What did Jesus say to Philip? Who can tell me? Who can tell me? What did he say to him? Yeah. What did he say, Jed? "Follow me. Follow me." That's what he says. And Philip did just that. He became a follower of Jesus. He realized that Jesus was the great rescuer promised in the Old Testament. And like Andrew on the previous day, he's so excited about this. So excited, he's just got to tell someone. And that's what it's like when we discover something absolutely brilliant, isn't it? We've got to tell someone. Find a brilliant new computer game for the PlayStation or the Xbox. Got to tell someone about it. If we find a new restaurant or a great new band or a great new song, we want to tell people, "I found this brilliant thing. Check it out yourself." Well, on discovering the Messiah, the Christ, Philip just has to tell someone. And he goes and he looks for his mate Nathaniel, and he says, "Hey, Nat, the most amazing thing has happened. We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law. We found the one that the prophets also wrote about. We found the king of the scriptures, the one who's promised there. We found the one who's going to rule the world forever. We found the one who's going to rescue us. He's called Jesus, and he's from Nazareth." "Nazareth? Nazareth?" Nathaniel says. "Can anything good come from there?" See, Nathaniel isn't sure that Philip's right about Jesus. "I can't remember anything in the Bible that says that the Christ is going to come from Nazareth," Nathaniel says. Well, Philip doesn't argue with him, notice. He doesn't say, "Oh, well, you suit yourself." He says, "Come and see. Come and check this man out for yourself." And Nathaniel goes with Philip to meet Jesus. And as they come up to him, Jesus looks at Nat and he says, "Here's a true Israelite." And Nathaniel's like, "Well, hang on a minute. I've never even met you before. So how do you know me?" And Jesus' reply is truly amazing. And it leaves Nathaniel absolutely flabbergasted. Jesus says, "Well, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. How did you know I was sitting under the fig tree? You were nowhere near. That's impossible." And that's when the penny drops for Nathaniel. And he realizes that Philip is right about Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And he followed King Jesus too. Do you know something? Jesus knows all about you too. All about you. He knows everything about you. He knows what you look like. He knows what you do. He knows what you think. And he knows how you feel. Isn't that amazing? How does that make you feel? And you know something else? Even more amazing. Jesus wants you and me to follow him. He really does. He wants us to know him, to live for him. He wants us to understand that he can rescue us. He wants us to receive that rescue. He wants us on his team for his great mission to the world. He wants us to tell others about him, to be involved in that. He wants us to follow him. And today, through his word, through the songs that we're singing, which are based on God's word, through the Bible reading, through the Bible talk, Jesus is coming to people this morning, and he is giving us here today exactly the same invitation that he gave to Philip. Follow me. Follow me. And maybe you're here this morning and you haven't answered that call yet, or you haven't answered it positively. Up until now, you've maybe been saying no, or not yet, maybe later. Maybe you're a bit like Nathaniel was at first. I'm just a bit unsure about all this Jesus stuff. What's so good about Jesus, you may be saying to yourself? Well, in a few moments, we're going to be thinking a bit about who Jesus is and why we should follow him. But before we do, we're going to sing a song that tells us. So we're going to sing our next song, which is "Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God." That's what Nathaniel discovered. That's the truth. And we're going to sing that truth together. So let's stand and sing "Jesus is the King." Yes, please sit down. He is the King. He really, really is the King. And that's good news. Now, Nathaniel, continuing the story, he believes now. He believes that Jesus really is the Son of God, the Christ. And Jesus says to him, he says, "Nathaniel, you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. But you're going to see greater things than that. And Jesus then says to his disciples, I tell you the truth, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's what he says. Now, the Son of Man is Jesus. That's another title for the Christ, for God's eternal ruler. And the disciples, they're going to see amazing things. They're going to see angels traveling up and down on Jesus, using him like a staircase. That sounds really strange, doesn't it? Sounds very strange to us. Sounds a bit weird. But to the disciples, they would be thinking about something that they knew about, something that happened near the beginning of the Bible. It wouldn't have been strange to them. They'd have been reminded of Jacob's dream in Genesis 28. You don't have to turn to it, but that's exactly what they would have been reminded about, this dream that Jacob had. Now, I need someone who's going to be Jacob. I'm just going to act it out, all right? So I need someone to... All right, go on, John. You're Jacob, all right? Okay. So in his travels, he comes to a place that was later called Bethel. Come over here. And he went to sleep. So all you need to do is sleep, all right? There you go. He did use a stone for a pillow, but I can't see any stones anywhere. No, no stones. Anyway, you're asleep, so you don't have to worry about anything else now, all right? But what he saw in his dream was this staircase, and we've got some stairs here, like a big staircase going from earth to heaven. So heaven open, and this staircase from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, and on the staircase he saw loads and loads and loads of angels ascending, that means going up, and descending, that means going down. So we need some angels. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Anyone else be an angel? Come out. Yep. Okay. All right, so you can start, Karis. You go up on this side on the left, and then go down, and then come to the right. Yeah, come on, come on. No, this way, follow Karis. Okay. Ascending and descending. Just follow Karis. This way, we don't want any accidents. Who did a risk assessment for this? Okay. Yeah. Okay, just be careful. Okay. Go on, Elsie, off you go. That's it, well done. You keep your eye on Karis. Okay, just keep going up and down. That's what Jacob saw. Angels ascending and descending on this ladder or staircase that went to heaven and was joining heaven to earth. And as Jacob's asleep and he sees this, God speaks to him. Okay, Eva, you keep going. Let Eva in. Yeah, right. God speaks to him and God speaks the promise that he spoke to Abraham. The big promise that all the Bible's about, the fulfillment of this promise. And he heard this voice, God's voice, repeating the promise that he'd given to Abraham and Isaac. And the promise was, I'm going to bless you, and through you, your family, I'm going to bless the whole world. I'm going to put right what's gone wrong. I am going to rescue this world from my curse and bring blessing. Still going. Okay, that's the promise. What went wrong in the Garden of Eden? I'm going to put it right, God says, and I'm going to do it through a member of Abraham's family. I'm going to bring people back into friendship with me through one of Abraham's children. This is the promise to rescue the whole world from our massive sin problem. And that's what Jacob hears. And he sees these angels up and down this ladder from heaven to earth. That's enough, thank you. Okay, so you got the picture, John, did you? Jacob, you got the picture? Yeah? Okay, right. You can wake up now. Thanks very much. You can go and sit down. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Great. No accidents. A few petals there on the floor, but yeah, thankfully. I did do a risk assessment if you're into things like that, just in case you were worried about that. But that was the dream. It was a significant moment in the Bible. And God says, this promise I made to rescue the whole world, put it right again. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through one of your family. I'm going to reconnect heaven and earth. I'm going to reconnect sinful men with the holy God. And what Jesus is saying at the end of John chapter 1 is this. He says, you remember that dream that Jacob had? You remember that stairway to heaven? Connecting heaven to earth, that stairway connecting God to man and man to God. I'm that stairway. That's who I am. I'm the link between God and human beings. Remember God's promise to bless the whole world through one of Abraham's children. I'm that child. I'm that person. I'm the Savior of the world. And the things that you see me do over the next 3 years, they're going to prove that. And John, in his book, he goes on to describe the greater things that the disciples went on to see. Miracles, amazing deeds that only God can do. And the greatest miracle of all, the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. By dying and coming back to life, Jesus has opened the way for us to get back to God. By trusting in Jesus, we get to know God. Jesus is the only way to life with God. It is the only way we can have life with God in his promised land of the new creation. So maybe we can see why it's so important to follow Jesus. Can we see that? When it comes to making a journey across Morecambe Bay, Cedric Robinson is a good person to follow. He can get you safely across. He can get you from Arnside to Kent's Bank. How about that? If you choose to go it alone, you probably will drown. It's a very dangerous place. I grew up on the edge of Morecambe Bay. I know how dangerous it is. But when it comes to the biggest journey of all, when it comes to life, Jesus is the best person to follow. He brings us to God. He leads us to life. He leads us to real life. He leads us to eternal life. He can lead us safely through death. He can lead us safely through the judgment to come. He is the only one who can get us across the great divide. He takes us from being enemies of God to being children of God. He takes us from being on our way to hell to being on our way to heaven, to the new creation. He takes us to himself. He's the only one who can do this. And refusing to follow Jesus in life will have the most serious consequences. The most serious consequences. If we don't follow Jesus, we won't know God. If we don't follow Jesus, we won't have that life, that real life, eternal life. If we don't follow Jesus, we will not be with God forever. We will be cut off from God forever. Can we see why it's so important to follow Jesus? Can you see why it's so important to follow Jesus? Well, we're going to spend a few moments praying together now. We're going to talk to God. And there's the response so that you're involved in the prayers. So it's not just me praying, I'm leading us in prayer, but I want you to join in the prayers. When you hear the words, "Lord, in your mercy," please say, "Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer." So you know, listen carefully to the prayers that I'm leading us in so that you can join in and say, "Yeah, that's the prayer I want to pray. I want to pray that with the rest of the people here. Hear our prayer." And then at the end of our prayer time, there's a prayer for us all to join in together, asking Jesus to help us to follow him more faithfully. So I'll guide us as we pray together. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you want us to know you, and you want us to have life with you, eternal life, one day to live with you and see you face to face in that new creation. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to make this possible. Thank you that he is your son. Thank you that he is the Christ, the promised savior of the world and the promised ruler of the world. We thank you that he died to rescue us, to bring us to you. We pray that you would help us to follow him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring to you, Father, our youth weekend away for the leaders and for all our young people who are on that. We do ask that the seed of your word will have landed on the good soil of soft and receptive hearts, and that the young people will come to know the truth and to believe the truth and accept the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the King of Israel. And we pray that they will follow him, that you'll produce a great harvest in their lives that brings glory to your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We do bring before you, Father, the future of our youth ministry. We pray for wisdom and faithfulness as we consider the next step. We pray that our ministry to youth, young people and children will grow and flourish. We pray that you will lead many young people to become disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. As our schools start a new year this week, we want to pray for church members who work in schools, and we want to pray for our children who go back to school. Thank you that we have schools to go to, Father. And we pray that our church family members who work and study at school will follow Jesus faithfully there this term. We pray that they would be known for their love for you and their love for others. We pray that they would stand out in their care and their concern for others. We pray that they would work hard and diligently and be conscientious. We pray that they would stand up for what is right and true. And that through them, your truth and your grace would shine in those places. At this time of change, we want to pray for Toyin as she starts a new job at Cumberland Infirmary and looks for a place to live in Carlisle and a church to attend. We ask that you would watch over her, Father. Help her to know that you're with her. And please lead her to a good church family who will love her and take care of her and disciple her. We pray that she would continue to follow Jesus and grow in him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our day together next week and the new congregation starting next Sunday. We ask for a really encouraging day on Saturday and a really encouraging start to this new aspect of our church life together next Sunday. Please use these things, Father, to make us better disciples, to make us people who love you more and who delight in your word more and love to obey it more, so that Jesus continues to build his church here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the Commons vote on Friday regarding assisted suicide. In the run-up to that vote, we pray, Lord, for fair and objective media coverage. We pray that the arguments of the pro-euthanasia lobby would be discredited. And we ask that the assisted suicide bill would be soundly defeated in the Commons on Friday. We pray that you would use this debate to remind our country of the value of life, to remind them that there is value even in a life that's full of suffering. Open the eyes of many to see that human life has dignity, value, and worth because we're made in your image. To see that you really are the God who is there and that you are the God who has suffered to redeem us from all suffering. We pray for suffering church members at this time. In a moment of quiet, we name them before you. Help them to live as faithful disciples in their suffering. May their dependence on you and their hope in you shine to all they come into contact with, and keep them in their trouble and difficulty, trusting you and persevering to the end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I pray for ourselves now as we determine to be obedient to Jesus. When you hear the phrase, Master, we hear your call, the response is, help us to follow. Master, we hear your call, help us to follow. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Master, we hear your call, help us to follow. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples. Master, we hear your call, help us to follow. Jesus said, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Love your enemies and do good to them. Master, we hear your call, help us to follow. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Master, We hear your call. Help us to follow. We join in together in the prayer on the service sheet, beginning, Lord, you've redeemed us. Together we pray. Lord, you have redeemed us and called us to your service. Give us grace to hear your word and to obey your command for your great name's sake. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again now. A song that talks about Jesus and all that he's done for us. And in this song there is a commitment there to follow him. I will follow him. Let's pray that each of us can say that, really meaning it. I will follow my Emmanuel in response to all that he's done for me. Okay, go ahead. Please do be seated. Well, hopefully we can see why it's so important to follow Jesus. And hopefully we can see why it's so important to do what we saw Andrew doing last week and Philip doing this week, telling our family and our friends and our neighbors and our colleagues how wonderful Jesus is and how brilliant it is to follow him. And hopefully we can see what we say to people who maybe don't share our enthusiasm and who aren't so sure about Jesus. What do we say to them? Come and see. Come and see. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. What's so good about Jesus? Come and see. What has the life of a carpenter who lived 2,000 years ago got to do with me today? Come and see. Come and see. Come and see the greater things he did. Read John's Gospel. See him turn water into wine. See him heal the sick and give sight to the blind. See him feed thousands and thousands of people with just a tiny, tiny lunch. See him raise the dead back to life. See him love the unlovely. See him forgive the undeserving. See his perfect life. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see especially the greatest thing that he did. See him dying on the cross. See him taking the punishment for our sin. And see him rising back to life, never ever to die again. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Have 2,000 years of Christianity ever changed anything? Well, come and see. See William Wilberforce fighting to free slaves in the British Empire because he believed. See Martin Luther King walking arm in arm with white ministers because he believed. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see the sick cared for. See the orphans given a home. See marriages rebuilt. Travel into those remote forests and the far reaches of the world and hear the jungle drums of former cannibals beating in praise to Jesus the King. Walk into the prisons and see the criminals condemned by man but liberated by God. Go into the dungeons and the torture chambers of North Korea and hear the songs, the joyful songs of Jesus' followers, refusing to be silent. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a question that people are still asking today, and Philip's answer is still sufficient. Come and see. Come and see. Come and spend 45 minutes with me, and we'll read the Bible together. Come and do Uncover with me. Let's look at this book, this John's Gospel. Let's see these great things that Jesus did. Come and see. Come to church. Come to 10:30. There's going to be more space next week. Come and see. Come to 4:30 with me. I'm part of the 4:30 congregation. There's loads of space there. Come and see. Come to ladies' meeting. Come to drop in deeper on Wednesday. Come to toddlers on Thursday. Come to the refreshments we're going to be putting on next Friday evening after torchlight. Come and see. And people might just say yes. And what happened to Nathanael may just happen to them. Nathanael came. Nathanael saw. He discovered the undeniable truth. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are the promised Savior of the world. You are the ruler of the universe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this passage that we've looked at today. And we thank you for the truth about Jesus. We thank you that he is the Son of God, the King of Israel, the Savior of the world, the ruler of the universe. And we want to pray for our family and our friends and our colleagues, our neighbors who don't know him. We ask that they will come and see who he is and what he's done for them, and that they will trust and follow him too. We pray for all the different things that we've got going on as a church this week. We pray that all who attend the ladies' meeting, drop in and deeper, toddlers, the Torchlight Hospitality, our church meetings next week, we pray that they would hear the invitation to come and see, and that they would discover Jesus and the joy of salvation. We pray that you'd be at work by your word, through your spirit, drawing people to yourself, changing people's lives, and bringing glory to yourself, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we finished looking at John chapter 1. It's taken us 6 weeks, and we've seen some amazing things about Jesus. I was thinking about having just a pause and saying, what have we learned about Jesus these past 6 weeks? But I won't be so cruel as that. And I know that lots of us have been on holiday. But I want to remind you, here's some of the things we've seen about Jesus. He's God. He's eternal. He's the creator of the whole universe. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ. He's the one through whom God will rule his people forever. He's the giver of eternal life. He's the only way to God. He's the only way to life with God the Father in the new creation. And he's made all this possible by being the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world by dying in our place to bring us to God. He is an awesome person. He's awesome. How do you honor such an awesome person as Jesus? Well, they honored the guide over the sands, the Sandman, by naming a beer after him, Cedric's. How do we honor the God-man? How do we honor the one who can lead us to God and life with him forever? And the answer is by taking his name, by being named after him, Christian. We become Christians. That's how we honor him. We live a life in keeping with that name, the name of Christ. We live a life of submission and loyalty to Jesus. We follow his leadership. We let him call the shots in our life, every area of our life. He calls the shots. He's number one. We honor Jesus by listening to him and by obeying him. We honor Jesus by trusting him and loving him. Do you want to honor Jesus? You want to honor Jesus today? Do you want to honor him this week? Do you want to honor him for the rest of your life? Well, you know what you need to do. Follow him. Follow him. Hear his call and respond with joyful obedience.